broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
You okay there? You sure?
He's off.
And Cameron, speaking of influence, so we do have an update involving a talk show host Rush Limbaugh.
No, they're not hearing anything else. And the memory that comes to my mind.
Criminal illegal aliens.
It sounds racist to me.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast. The groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. And welcome back to our program. Coming up next hour, we have Vernon Dozier, an educator from the San Gabriel Valley here in Southern California. He's a high school teacher, and like high school teachers all across the country, is engaged at this early stage of the school year and in trying to engage the interest of his students. And we're going to be talking to him about young people and their level of intelligence and sophistication in this modern age in relation to this balloon boy story and just how much this child may have had to do with this caper, whatever you want to call it. You know, there's all kinds of speculation. As Don Berman was on our show last night from Channel 19 saying this is clearly a family trying to survive the recession the best way they know how, which is to get themselves on a reality TV show, get themselves paid, you know, a pretty handsome paycheck. And can you blame them, right? Can you blame them? And, of course, that's what the discussion has been today. But tonight with Mr. Dozier, we'll talk a little bit more in depth about the family dynamic there with Balloon Boy and the family. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we're here every night for you. We're also on our website at philhendryshow.com, where you can go and watch live streaming video of our program. Now, I wanted to get to this story because it's just, you know, there's a lot of stuff dropping into our lap today, guys. There's a lot of stuff just dropping right smack dab into our lap, and I mean it's sitting there and it's looking up at us like it's a brand new baby boy. And it's saying things like...
Thank you for telling me what I already know.
That is that, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats, as people out there, they don't know what they is anymore. Well, you is what you am, man. A cow don't make ham, in the words of Frank Sinatra. Or was it Frank Zappa? That's who it was.
No, it was Sinatra.
No, it wasn't Sinatra. It was Zappa.
Yeah, it was Zappa. All right, I'll double check.
That was Sinatra. You are what you is. A cow don't make ham. That was Zappa, not Sinatra. The fact is... As we've said on the show so many times, the only way the country is going to survive is if it gets past ideology and gets to issue. Not ideology, issue. What do you think has happened in the last 24 hours? Well, Newt Gingrich has endorsed a pro-choice Republican candidate that has backing from Acorn. Now, let me just put those three things together for you so that you are... clear as to what it is I'm talking about. Newt Gingrich, the man who was one of the authors of the Contract with America, the 94 GOP, reassumption of power in the United States Congress after Bill Clinton was elected in 92, that Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich, who was the Speaker of the House, arch conservative, has endorsed in the 23rd Congressional District Didi Skosafava, I forget how it's...
No, way to butcher it.
Well, I can't. Didi Skosafava.
Yay!
How about that, huh? Well, all right, so I didn't pronounce her name, but the fact is Didi Skosava is a social moderate as she attempts to hold on to the conservative base that's been eroded by Doug Hoffman, the Conservative Party candidate in the three-way 23rd district race. Doug Hoffman, the Conservative Party candidate whose base is eroding. Now, a Siena Research Institute poll released yesterday found that Hoffman, who claims he is, quote, the real Republican in the race, gaining ground with support of 23% of voters in the 11-county district, Skosafava was favored by 29%, Bill Owens 33%, but put them both together, and what do you got? Well, you got a couple of conservatives that are kicking the crap out of the Democrat. But Skosafava is saying, no, you ain't where it's at, man. You ain't the Republican. I am. I'm pro-choice. I got Acorn backing, and I got Newt, man. Now, why do you suppose Newt's throwing in with her? I'll tell you why. Because Newt Gingrich is finally wising up. This guy recognizes the social conservatism of the Republican Party is a dead letter, man. dead letter. It's a dead baby.
It's all messed up.
It's jacked up. Hoffman mounted a late surge in the special election with endorsements by prominent conservatives that include former Republican Senator Fred Thompson. Big deal. I don't think an endorsement from Fred Thompson, man, could get a guy elected. You couldn't get elected dog catcher. Scosa Fava's candidacy is also reported to have triggered a deep divide among House Republicans, with some of the most conservative members refusing to support her campaign. But Gingrich, who served as Speaker of the House from 95 to 99, wants to unite the party. He sees Scosa Fava and the upstate special election as the best hope for Republicans to start a comeback and regain control of Congress. Gingrich is apparently willing to overlook Scosa Fava's support for same-sex marriage and abortion rights. Overlook? He ain't overlooking nothing, man. He knows that the Republicans hanging on to all that, no gays this and no that and no women here and no nothing. He knows that stuff is dragging them down, man, like a rusty anchor. That all that does is identify that party as a bunch of tired old ladies. And it ain't worth it. Not in his mind. It ain't worth it. It just isn't worth it hanging on to the Randall Terry wing of the party. For what? Ain't nothing Barry Goldwater want to do. It ain't nothing that any of the original conservatives would want to have anything to do with. And a lot of these Tea Party people, these cats are so out there, man. Some of them are going to vote Democrat. Now understand what I'm telling you. Some of the Tea Party people are so disgusted with Republicans, not because they're disgusted with Republicans per se, they're disgusted with the fact that it doesn't represent anything anymore. Now, here's where the Democrats are getting away with murder, and this is where I get to the conversation that I have with you guys on occasion. See, these parties don't mean anything anymore. They represent two sides in a bar fight that long ago forgot what the fight is about. Long ago forgot what the fight is about. Somebody said something to somebody's girlfriend, and the next thing you know, everybody started swinging. God, look at my shirt. It's just soaking wet, man.
Yeah, you look like you got malaria.
It can't be that hot in here. We were talking about Meghan McCain's butt, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these are two sides that are in the middle of a bar fight that long ago they forgot why they're fighting. They're just still throwing chairs and throwing bottles and throwing guys through windows, and they got no idea what the hell it is they're fighting about. Oh, yeah, they're fighting for control of the Congress, but what do they stand for? They couldn't tell you if you had a loaded shotgun to their gonads. They wouldn't be able to tell you. You're a Democrat, right? Yes, I am. What are you going to do with the gun? I'm going to blow them off, man. That's what I'm going to do. Two barrels, okay? 10-gauge. Understand? Yeah. What is a Democrat? Well, it's a person who believes in bang. Wrong answer. You there, Republican, same thing. Okay. So keep that in mind, folks. This is, boy, are we all over this, man, like white on rice, or are we all over this, man? I told you, people are getting sick and tired. And the only thing that bothers me is if I walked up to your average Tea Party person, I said, well, I know you're not going to vote Republican, and you may vote Democrat, but then again, you may not. Uh-huh. So are you a conservative? Oh, I'm a conservative. See, they're going to always identify themselves with a conservative, but conservative still means a lot of those old social conservative issues. Here is Gingrich saying, I'm going to throw my support behind this lady, Scosa Fava, if I'm pronouncing the name right. I thank God. If I'm not, I apologize. And I don't give a damn if she's in favor of same-sex marriage, and I don't give a damn if she's in favor of abortion rights. This woman, Gingrich is right, and this woman is right. This is the saving grace of the Republican Party right here. This is it right here. It's almost like Gingrich has been listening to this show. For a year and a half, we've been saying, you guys want to save your party, you better get rid of that Randall Terry wing, get rid of all these crackers, all these cats with their watermelon emails, all of these stupid bastards with their Michelle Obama gorilla jokes. All of these old school tired fruits and freaks and weird asses, get them out of there. And you gotta distill this party of yours down to what the hell it is. To me, the Republican Party has always been mostly about economics. It's never been about foreign policy. Democrats are all about foreign policy. Republicans aren't about foreign policy. Republicans have never been about national projects per se. Democrats are. Republicans are about local projects. Republicans are about home army, homeland. Democrats are about world. And there's nothing wrong with either one of those points of view. It's just that when do you use them? All right, so I want you to read about this. This is an important moment. This is a very, very important thing that happened today with Gingrich throwing his support behind this woman. And now, on to the Democrats. You people, you are so lucky that you've got opposing you a Republican Party with its head shoved so far up its rear end, man. They got to open their mouths to scratch the top of their head. I mean, they got no idea where they're going. So you guys are benefiting from that. And what are you doing? How are you maximizing these days? You're sitting around with your thumbs wedged, too. You're sitting around as stupid as the day is long, not understanding anything that anybody's talking about, not understanding anything that Obama's talking about. You're just out there, well, we're just going to do what the president wants us to do. You got no original thinkers in that party at all. The president's relying on you to try to sell a health care reform bill that you couldn't sell. Man, you couldn't sell it if it was ice water and you were in the middle of the Sahara. That's how bad you clowns have been fumbling that football. All right, when we come back, we've got CNN, The Huffington Post, MSNBC, all retracting their statements attributing certain things to Rush Limbaugh. And we've got the audio and we've got the story. So now what does this mean? 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, we've got Vernon Dozier on Balloon Boy. Not literally, but, you know.
Yeah. He's not going to mount the kid.
Yeah, I understand. 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Phil. And this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. CNN, Huffington Post retract Limbaugh quote. MSNBC admits they haven't been verified. So what does that tell you? And why are they doing that? Because they don't want to get sued. That's why. You know, we didn't hear this. We stand by our story stuff. The reason why I'm bringing this up, and I'm not going to stand here and say, ha, 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 see, I told you, because I don't get any particular joy out of necessarily seeing a news organization, whether it be CNN or MSNBC or anybody else, have to apologize for something that they should have known was stupid in the first place. But the fact is, there's only one internet, there's only one Drudge, there's only one Breitbart, there's only one anarchy of the internet, and you guys ain't it. You understand? You want to go down the Dan Rather route, which is basically this. I know what I'll do. I'll just start throwing crap on the air just like Matt Drudge does. And then if it's wrong, we'll just say, oops, we're sorry, it's wrong. It's not the same game that you guys are in. You understand? It's not the Matt Drudge world where he just puts stuff up on a website. And if it's wrong, then he says, oh, here's the right version of it. Because from the beginning, that's what the Drudge Report has always been about. It's about, here's the breaking news. If it's true, great. If it isn't, then I'll tell you what is true. But here's what we got right now. And it may be bull crap, and I don't care if it is bull crap. Because this is the internet, and we're tired of the way these guys manage news anyway. And as we come to find out, they don't know what they're doing, and never did know what they're doing. And they're pretty much engaged in the same kind of editorial control, the editorial manipulation that we are. So if CNN says that Rush Limbaugh said this, or HuffPost says this, or MSNBC says this, and they repeat this stuff, and as we said to you last night, the guy can go out and he can prove damages because he had a business opportunity that went south as the result of these quotes circulating en masse. Their ass is in a sling. And that's why what happened today happened. And what happened? Well, amid the firestorm of criticism unleashed when Rush Limbaugh revealed that he was part of a group seeking to buy the NFL's St. Louis Rams, Limbaugh complained that some racially insensitive quotes repeatedly attributed to him were fakes. The quotes from a 2006 book by Jack Huberman. So this is from a book by a hack. And I say hack because if you look at the titles of this guy's works, it's all about how the GOP sucks here and how Republicans blow over there and how all conservatives ought to die. And other than that, I'm very objective. Now, this guy Huberman who I don't even know what he is. I don't know if this guy's a reporter or if he had a blog and somebody paid him a lot of money to write a book or if he's got a very interesting way of scribbling with crayon. I don't know what he does. But he had Limbaugh endorsing slavery in the pre-Civil War South and asking for a Medal of Honor for James Earl Ray. Now, nobody is, by the way, have we got any quotes from this Huberman? Has anybody called him up to say, thanks a lot, Jack, I read your book, I really went, you know, I took you at your word that this is the real stuff, and we repeated it, and guess what, he's going to sue our ass. Anybody call him up and say, thanks, but no thanks, Jack, you ain't going to be on any CNN shows anytime soon? Anyway, Limbaugh has steadfastly denied ever having made such statements and has said on his show that his lawyers are seeking retractions with threats of lawsuits. So obviously his attorneys have been in touch with CNN and he extracted from them a promise that they would retract because that's what they did. And we're going to play it for you. News anchor Rick Sanchez used the quote on CNN but has now issued a retraction. Among the far-left online publications to address the phony quotes, even the Huffington Post offered a retraction, explaining that the author, Huberman, has not been able to substantiate the quotes. What have we been talking about? Here's another thing we've been talking about for year after year after year. Just because somebody says something to you doesn't mean it's true. Just because they said there was torture at Guantanamo doesn't mean that there was. Just because they said there was murder at Abu Ghraib doesn't mean that there was. Just because they said that George Bush lied doesn't mean that he did. And just because they say that Rush Limbaugh said that slavery was a good thing for the pre-Civil War South doesn't mean that he did, although, you know, I might have agreed with him.
You're kidding me.
I'm kidding. Yes, I'm kidding. All right, here is Limbaugh, or rather, this is CNN's Rick Sanchez retracting a so-called Limbaugh quote that he had been running his big fat yap about earlier in the week.
Earlier this week, we provided quotes attributed to Limbaugh to illustrate why some people and players felt that he was too divisive to be an NFL owner. It was one of the stories we did earlier this week. One of these quotes, which was in a column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and taken from a book largely about conservatives, was refuted by Limbaugh. I mentioned that to you Tuesday. We have been unable to independently confirm that quote. We should not have reported it. Not have reported it without independent confirmation. And for that, I apologize. I feel it's important on this show to hold folks accountable whenever they make mistakes. That's what I try to do. And you know what? That should include myself.
You blew it.
And that should also include my team.
Yeah, you blew it, man.
It's important to let you know that.
Yeah, you know what? You're fired.
That's very tough to swallow.
All right, now, David Kermit Schuster says they can't verify the Limbaugh quote either. They've been hunting and they've been looking, but they can't find it. They've been touting it, though they don't retract it or apologize it. They just can't find it. He's still looking, man. I got a great idea there for you, David. Try your ass. Maybe that's where you pulled it, huh?
And Cameron, speaking of influence, we do have an update involving talk show host Rush Limbaugh and the controversy over his effort helped buy an NFL football team. Limbaugh denies, he said, quote, slavery has its merits. It was a quote that appeared on MSNBC this past Monday and Tuesday. MSNBC attributed that quote to a football player who was opposed to Limbaugh's NFL bid. However, we have been unable to verify that quote independently. So just to clarify.
Yeah, just to clarify, you don't know what you're doing, right? Just to clarify that you are the official
giant douche nozzle
for MSNBC. Now, on the O'Reilly factor, when Juan Williams of NPR defends Rush, African-American author and radio host Warren Ballantyne tells him to go back to the porch. Listen to this.
The reason that Limbaugh is not going to be able to buy into the NFL is because a bunch of made-up stuff became legend. And he got hammered.
Okay, we won't look at the made-up stuff. Let's look at him playing Barack the Magic Negro on his show. And we're going to say, oh, that's just funny. That's just a joke. That's not racial either. I mean, the reality
you know
of it is racial to real black
Warren.
People.
Hey, Warren, you were saying that I was my argument was a red herring. Maybe you should do some research. Go back and find out that it was an article written by a black person, headline, about Barack the
but
Magic Negro.
But he made it out of a song and played. He made it out of a song and played it on his show.
So what? He's making fun of it.
It's okay. You can go back to the porch, Warren.
All right,
you can go back. It's
good debate. Good spirited debate. Dude. We got to get this issue out.
I got to tell you.
You're causing a disturbance.
Listen, man. If this guy Ballantyne doesn't understand it, Limbaugh didn't even write the song. It was written by some, I put this in quotes, comedian. It wasn't even funny, man. We had a copy of it when it first came out, and I said to Rance, it playing that, man. It ain't even funny. I mean, if it was funny, and it was made into a song because the LA Times writer, a black writer, as pointed out there by Williams, had called Obama the Magic Negro. So you know, either you want the truth or you don't. It sounds like people don't really want the truth, man. And I mean on the left and the right. I mean even these conservatives, liberals, I hate them all, man. I hope they all swing. I'm kidding. But, you know, just go away, man. Would you please? All right, coming up more on the Balloon Boy, we have, of course, Vernon Dozier next hour talking about that. 877-876-PHIL. And many angry justices of the peace won't marry interracial couples. Not just one. There are many. There are thousands. Maybe they've got something there. I don't know. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You gotta be putting me on.
I'm joking around, man.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, coming up next hour here on the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, Vernon Dozier, an educator from Glendale, California, will be talking about Balloon Boy and the, well, the state of kids today. And how are they doing? And what are they believing? And what part do they play in the overall family dynamic? And did they have anything to do with inspiring the balloon ride? Or was it all Dad's idea? Or was it just a... just a little tiny kid crawling into a balloon and suddenly, woo, the thing takes off and he's off flying into outer space, man, in that flying saucer of his. I've been listening to that audio, by the way, and I've been listening to it and I've been listening to it forward and backwards, seeing if there's anything about the devil in it. I've been trying to figure it out, you know?
You think there's backward masking or something, huh?
There may be. I mean, what I'm trying to hear is this father, because there's something about the guy that gives me the creeps, and I'm sure that you agree, and I don't want to be... prejudice. You know, in other words, there's a lot of weird people in the world. It doesn't make them bad. There's a lot of cats that look like, in other words, they drink way too much coffee and they don't get enough sleep. That guy looks like one of those kind of people. For all I know, I look like one of those kind of people, so I wouldn't want anybody to judge me based on that. Right? But every time I listen to this guy, I'm hearing something that's just, what are you doing crying? He's bawling into the phone on the 911 call. I don't know. I shouldn't put myself in his shoes. I would hope that were I in his position, I would keep it together a little bit. But then again, if I thought my child was in a runaway flying saucer-shaped balloon, well, the first thing I'd do is I would call the cops. And then the second thing I'd do is blow my brains out. All right.
Really?
No, I wouldn't. I'd be tempted, I'll tell you that. All right. Many angry justice of the peace wouldn't marry an interracial couple. Well, that didn't take long. Now, let me tell you what happened. We reported this yesterday, and this was about a justice of the peace down in New Orleans, or somewhere close. A guy by the name of Keith Bardwell, he's a white justice of the peace in a place called Tangipahoa Parish in the southeastern part of Louisiana, and he refused to issue a marriage license earlier this month to Beth Humphrey, who's white, and Terrence McKay, who is black. And the reason why he didn't is because many of his friends would probably, well, you know.
My butt would be raw.
He would not be able to show up at church or any of these other places. So anyway, Bardwell, maybe if it was a white man and a black woman, he would have been more comfortable with that.
Yeah, he would have.
What the hell are you talking about, man?
It just doesn't sit right with some white men.
Will you shut up?
God, what the hell are you talking about?
I can't explain it. I can't explain it. It's wrong. It's just wrong. But white guy, a lot of white men, it drives them nuts if they see a black guy with a white woman.
Yeah, it's something about it that is abnormal.
Man, you say one more word, I'm going to belt you out. I'm going to hit you, man.
Now, hold on. You know, I understand, Robert, your outrage. It's weird. It's definitely a, sort of a holdover from the Jim Crow days. What can I tell you?
Yeah, well, you tell us got to shut up about that.
I get the right to talk about the issues of the day.
Get out of here, will you? Talk about the issues of the day.
That pisses me off, man.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I mean, but that's the way some guys are. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, maybe somebody ought to get their head in their ass wired together on that.
Maybe they ought to. There's some real crackers out there, brother. What can I tell you? There's some real... sick, twisted bastards. Anyway, so I bet you that was this Keith Bardwell's problem. His refusal prompted calls for an investigation or resignation from civil and constitutional rights groups and the state's legislative black caucus and the Louisiana governor and a U.S. senator. They're all calling for this guy to either get his ass in gear or fire him is what they should do. This is 2009, Charlie. I'm sure that everything down there in the parish is just all just wonderful and... you know, on Saturday night they're going to have some crawfish pie, and the whole thing's going to be beautiful, man. But you're part of a bigger thing called America. I don't know whether you noticed it or not. I ain't putting down the folks in Louisiana. I'm putting down this Bardwell jackass. See, there's a whole bigger thing that you're a part of, man, called America. All right, so the Republican governor of the state, Bobby Jindal, said in a statement, a 9-member commission that reviews lawyers and judges in the state should investigate. Disciplinary action should be taken immediately, including the revoking of his license, said Governor Jindal. Now, here is Beth Humphrey, the lady who was to be married. She explains to the NBC Nightly News the conversation she had with Keith Bardwell's wife, who was speaking on behalf of the Justice of the Peace.
When I made the phone call, we had finished our conversation, setting up a time for me to call her. And she was really nice and said that we could come over and that her family would be our witnesses if we couldn't find anybody and stuff like that. And then at the end of the conversation, she asked us if it was an interracial marriage. And when I told her yes, she asked me, what's the deal? And I was kind of shocked, and I said, excuse me? And she said, is he black and you're white, or are you white and he's black? And I told her that he was black, and she said that they don't do interracial weddings. Honestly, I was so shocked that I didn't even know where to begin. I was caught so off guard. It was the last thing I expected when I made that phone call.
You know, that is pretty sad. And then, of course, when she told her husband about it, he said...
And I'm like, oh, snap!
He couldn't understand that either, so...
Man, that is so racist.
I'm joking. Come on. So anyway, so that's the old... that's Mr. Bardwell's wife, and she, laid it out there. Well, we don't do that. Well, you know what you do? You do what the law tells you to do, okay? Otherwise, why don't you get yourself... Join the Masons. Join some lodge. Join a private organization. I'm not saying the Masons are racist, although, who knows... I'll tell you one thing, you ain't going to be hearing around the Masonic Lodge.
And I'm like, oh, snaps.
But anyway, no, seriously, you know, private is private, public is public. That's why these doctors who say, you know, it's against my religion to treat queers. You know, I don't have no gays coming in here. Well, isn't that's very interesting. Have you got a license to practice medicine? Well, of course I do. Oh, really? So, and you've got a business license? Well, yeah, okay. Well, guess what? You're going to be treating gays. Because it's against the law if you don't. You got a public business license? That's what you're going to do. Not what you might do. Not what you think you should do. What you're going to do. These people with this, oh, it's against my religion. Is it against your religion? Maybe it's against your religion living in America. Have you thought about that? Maybe it's against your religion being a part of this country. Because there comes a time when you got to choose between your religion and your country. There does come a time when you have to choose. If you take it all the way down the line and you say, I'm going to have a business, and I'm going to be open to the public, except for you, 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 and you. Well, I got big news for you. You're breaking the law. So here's what you do. You either get up off your high horse and get with the 20th century for some of these people, then we'll move into the 21st century, or split off the planet, in the immortal words of Roland Kirk, who also said...
He's all like flavored death.
He said that too.
And he was black.
Yep. All right, so Bardwell has said he has always asked if a couple is interracial. If they are, refers them to another justice of the peace. Bardwell said no one has complained in the past, and he doesn't marry the couple because he's worried about their children's futures. My ass.
He's worried about your ass.
No, you shut up. I'll bet you what happens is these people call up and they go... This, and you're black. Yeah, I'm black, and your wife is white. Yeah, she's white. Uh-huh, all right. You know, it's a funny deal. We're all booked up this weekend. Oh, really? Yeah, I just noticed the appointment. But Judge Effervescent down the street, he'll be happy to do it. Oh, okay. I bet you that's how it's played out. Or, maybe more to the point, some people don't get it. They don't understand, and they go ahead and they sit still for it. Perhaps he's worried the kids will grow up and be president, said Bill Quigley, director of the Center for Constitutional Rights and Justice, referring to President Barack Obama, the son of a black father from Kenya and a white mother from Kansas. Humphrey and McKay were eventually married by another justice of the peace, but are now looking into legal action against Bardwell. Humphrey said he called Bardwell on October the 6th, she said, I should say, to ask about the marriage license. She said Bardwell's wife gave her a line of bullcrap. So that's the story. And again, the law says what the law says. And these people that give this excuse, I'm telling you, there are some days when I think we're still back in 1965. I used to hear this when I was a kid, even, when I heard the adults talking about, you know, civil rights, and they always had the same line. You don't tell us what to do, and this is my business. I'll serve who I want to serve. Well, at that time, there was no public accommodation law. And in point of fact, it was legal for a local business to say, I don't want to serve you, you're black. But part of the civil rights legislation included public accommodation. If you have a public license, if you are doing business with the public, well, then you're doing business with the public, Charlie. If you are a private lodge, if you're a private club, if you're a private something or other, then you go ahead and you keep on being private. Why do you think they made the big stink about Augusta and that that Masters? It wasn't because it's a private club and they don't let blacks or women in. It's that the Masters was doing business with CBS, and CBS has advertisers that are trying to get business from the public. Augusta doesn't give a sweet crap. They ain't looking to get any new members. They're not out there canvassing to see how many black people they can get this month. They've got a golf tournament that they'd like to publicize. CBS wants to get an audience and advertisers. Well, the problem is, if CBS has an advertiser, Joe Blow's Beer, and people say, oh, are you Joe Blow? You're selling beer to me? Yeah, well, guess what? You sponsor a golf tournament that is taking place at a club that discriminates against people on the basis of race and sex. I ain't buying your beer. Guess what Joe Blow Beer Company says? They say, I ain't going to sponsor this tournament because we don't need that kind of heat. It's the same thing with the NFL, man. Maybe they love Rush Limbaugh. They may think that the sun rises and sets on his fat ass, but they're in business to do business. They can't fool around. I'm sure it was something, you know, Rush, you know, you're a nice guy, man. Well, yeah, why aren't you guys sticking up for me? Come on, man. What do I look like? I'm out here. You think I'm running? Do I look like Martin Luther King? I ain't sticking up for you, man, because I can't, because it'll kill me. We got little kids going in and buying sneakers and helmets and T-shirts. That's what it's all about. We want season ticket sales. You understand? We got booths. We got all this stuff. We're not going to carry a freaking flaming cross for Rush Limbaugh. Well, I don't think it's fair. And well, you know what? Sue their asses. Will you then let me in? No. Why? Because the publicity surrounding you is negative. It's negative, man. It turns people off to the product. We got a product to sell. It's called professional football. We sell merchandise. We sell tickets. We sell advertising on television. We sell all kinds of events. We got the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl, the draft. We got the regular season. We got the playoffs. We got all this team merchandise. We don't need you and your big fat mouth. Thank you and good night. That's the end of that. And I'm shocked. Now, Rush says that he knew there'd be a firestorm, and he says that Check It said to him, everything's cool. Well, you know what? I find that very hard to believe. I find it stunning that Rush wasn't aware of the fact that once he jumped into this, that people were going to be all over him, man, like stink on crap.
Good comparison.
Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. And even when he got an advertiser to say, they still weren't going to be on top of that. All right, now coming up, illegal alien costume sold at a Target angers Hispanic groups. And the Dr. Green Thumb Report is back. 877-876-PHIL. And then, of course, Vernon Dozier coming up next hour with Balloon Boy. It's all here on the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
My butt would be raw.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Before we get to our Dr. Green Thumb report, we have a stack of marijuana stories, of Green Thumb stories, if you will. To get to here tonight, I wanted to mention this story. Target is having to pull an illegal alien costume because it's causing, quote, outrage among Hispanics. And this is an example of a commercial enterprise caving for no reason at all. I mean, I can get the NFL saying, too much heat, Rush. Thank you, but no thanks. But the illegal alien costume is of a guy from outer space with a green card. And some Hispanic groups, and maybe I shouldn't even say Hispanic groups, maybe I should just say their executive boards, because I really don't know whether Hispanics give one sweet holy crap or not. Angelica Salas, who is the executive director of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, says she emailed Target calling the costume distasteful, mean-spirited, and ignorant of social stigmas and current debate on immigration reform. You have no idea what the current debate is about, ma'am. None at all. Many Target customers have given the costume the lowest product rating possible on the site, 1 of 5 stars, and have expressed their distaste in the guest review section. The costume is a sick sign of the times. What is sick about their... It's a play on a term, illegal alien. The dude is from another planet, man. He ain't even Hispanic. He's holding a green card, but I got news for you. Everybody that comes to this country and wants to reside and work here has to have a green card. Some customers say they refuse to shop at the Target store until the costume is... What do you want, bud?
Yeah, most of the people that shop at Target come from Mexico anyway, so that's not really the thing.
What are you talking about, man?
What do you mean most of us shop at Target? I look like I'm Mexican?
Some people might think you are.
What, are you an idiot or something, man?
What do you mean most people that shop there are Mexican?
Well, don't you have, ain't you never heard the joke? What's the first three things that a Mexican...
Will you shut up? They're talking about Walmart. I mean, excuse me.
Yeah, see?
I didn't mean to say Walmart. I meant to say
Rite Aid.
Rite Aid. I mean, I meant, you know what I meant to say. Look at, man, you know, some people have just got to get with it a little bit. I mean, we got to be able to laugh. Laugh! You know, laugh? Ha, 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 ha! According to Thomas, the store never intended to sell the outfit and only included it in its online Halloween offerings by mistake. Oh, bullcrap. This is Target spokesman Joshua Thomas, who was the guy that they put out in front of the TV lights and the cameras to take all the heat because the cats that run Target suddenly retreated to a stockroom someplace to, you know, probably blast up for all I know.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Time now for the Dr. Green Thumb report. Speaking of blasting up, Cesar Lopez, not to, you know, get back into the illegal alien thing, but anyway, Cesar Lopez, a 29-year-old Lebanon, Pennsylvania man, was busted on Saturday when he walked up to a police officer with a small bag of marijuana stuck to his forehead, according to Lebanon police. Police said the officer went into a Turkey Hill convenience store on Lemon Street at 3:25 a.m. and saw Lopez holding a baseball cap and peering inside of it. When Lopez approached the officer, he looked up and the officer said he saw a small plastic bag stuck to Lopez's forehead. The bag appeared to contain marijuana. So this dumbass had it in his cap, put his cap, didn't know where his bag of weed went, and it was stuck to his head. What a dope. The officer retrieved the bag from Lopez's forehead and said, "Is this what you're looking for?" According to the police report, Lopez was charged with possession of a small amount of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. It's not uncommon for people to hide drugs in the inside lip of a cap, according to police. But then when you take the cap off and you can't find a baggie inside, you might want to check to see if it's stuck to your head someplace. In Cortland, New York, deputies say an upstate New York man has been charged with evidence tampering after he was busted for growing marijuana and then tried to eat the evidence. Oh, no. Jeremy Wheeler and his father, William Wheeler, were arrested Sunday night after deputies said they found 116 plants growing in the son's home in Willett. Deputies said Jeremy Wheeler tried to eat some of the plants while being booked. The 29-year-old Wheeler was also charged with resisting arrest. His 51-year-old father was charged with unlawful possession of weed. Both were released on tickets to appear in court at a later date there in Cortland, New York. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a state-owned university in southwestern Pennsylvania is warning students about marijuana laced with Jimson weed. Officials at California University of Pennsylvania say some students have become ill after smoking marijuana laced with this weed. Student Pete Catella told WTAE Television in Pittsburgh that students are going to be concerned if they become ill from the drug. Well, no kidding. If you smoke weed and you want to throw up, the dope's probably not any good. That's just my guess. Anyway, Jimson weed, also known as thorn apple marijuana, can cause a rapid heartbeat, incoherent speech, and hallucinations. In other words, it's a lot like STP. Now, the school has not said how many students have been affected already because, you know, they want to keep that cool, so... In Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Sheboygan prosecutors have charged a young woman with trying to eat marijuana as police pulled over the car in which she was riding. Jamie L. Salonon, age 18, was charged Friday with misdemeanor marijuana possession and felony bail jumping. The criminal complaint said a trooper stopped her car after seeing the occupants weren't wearing seatbelts. It said the trooper saw Salomon moving around suspiciously. Prosecutors said the trooper found her with green material around her mouth and lips and marijuana strewn about her side of the car. So you know what? That's another thing, man. Bring a napkin with you if you're planning on... Anyway, the number listed for Salonon was disconnected because she was probably very embarrassed. Filmmaker Kevin Smith has credited actor Seth Rogen and a newfound love of marijuana with pulling him out of a creative downturn. The Clerks director was uninspired and unsure where his career was headed until Pineapple Express star stalked him into smoking weed last summer. Now Smith lights up at least three times a day, and he's swamped with new projects. That's good news, huh? Including a Batman comic and a release of an upcoming movie, A Pair of Dicks, starring Bruce Willis. He's probably swamped with projects. I bet you they suck, too. What do you think? Not funny. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier talking about Balloon Boy on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.